which they saw in the east, went before them. And they came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they mourned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod. They departed them to their own country another way. And my sisters, both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke give us a detailed description of the birth of our Savior. It is Dr. Luke, the four Gospel writers, who give us more chronology, more detail of any of the other Gospel writers regarding the historical spiritual birth of the Messiah. As Dr. Luke was writing to a Gentile audience who are not familiar with the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who don't have a history of religion. And so it's very important for Luke to make sure that he gives them more details and more historical instruction so they might find themselves into the family of faith. Matthew does not have to do that as much. But Matthew wants us to know, especially with his 27 generations of tying Jesus back to the lineage of David, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah that the prophets talked about and foretold, and that it is Jesus who is the one that they had been looking for. It is Matthew that tells us of his birth in a manger. But before we get to the manger, we learn of these wise men that came from the east. These wise men who were astrologers around present-day Iran and Iraq knew and understood the heavens and cosmology. They understood and watched the heavens. They understood and watched cosmology. They were astrologers, and they believed that the stars will tell you something before they gave a name to the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. They understood that watching the stars, you could feel what God was doing in the atmosphere. And one day they saw a star shine brighter than the sun and the moon. And they knew one day that there had to be something very special about this star, because this star, not only was it brighter and shining than any of the other stars, but it hovered around them and then wouldn't move until they moved. Sometimes your stars ain't lining up because you're not moving with them. And when your stars line up, you got to move when they move. You got to discern in the spirit. That's why you got to understand the heavens when God is telling you to stand still and when God is telling you to move. So the star began to move, and they moved with the star. And I assume that star had to find its way around Jerusalem, had to find its way around Judea, because as they moved with the star led them around Judea and led them into the palace of a king by the name of Herod. He had gotten word that there was a wise man in the atmosphere. There was a wise man running in the environment, some wise men around the town, and he wanted to know why they were here and why there was this bright star following them, and then why they were following the bright star. And it came to pass, and it came to his attention, that they believed that the star represented
be the king of the Jews, then no longer will Herod be king of the Jews. So he tells them that I want to see him for myself. That once you all find him, come back and report to me that you have found him so that I may go to worship him as well. Everybody in here, they come to worship him. Everybody in here, then come to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because while we were shouting, while we were dancing, while we were in the Holy Ghost, left my greens on. I ain't going to be first in line for the chicken at Publix. We're supposed to be out of here by 11:29. Is he going to make it on time? What time the game start? What time I got to leave? Somebody didn't come here. Why are they doing this again and already at one time in the preamble? I thought they got it in and got it out. Somebody might have come here to worship in the spirit and the truth because you think it's all about you and that you got what you got. You made it on your own. But ain't about no, it's just Jesus. So he says, I want to go worship him. And when you come back, let me know where he is. My brothers and my sisters, let me give you a little Bible study one-on-one. There's six Herods in the Bible. I don't have enough time today because you've got to get out of here by 11:29 to be first in line in Publix for your chicken. There's six Herods in the Bible. This is Herod the Great, the first of the great Herods. He is king of Judea at the birth of Jesus, who is the Christ. He is king of Judea where current-day Jerusalem is. And he served as king of Judea from 37 B.C., which is before the birth of Christ, to 4 A.D. So he was the king of Judea at the beginning and during the very first 4 years of the life of Jesus Christ. And the thing is that you know by now that Herod wanted to kill all the babies born at that time to make sure that he got rid of whoever was going to be this Messiah. He didn't know where he was going to be born. He didn't know where he was going to be birthed. He didn't know who his parents would be. He only knew that he was coming, and that if he was coming to take his kingdom, not only for himself, but for his entire family, because as you know, it goes to your sons, even if the daddy dies, the son gets it, amen? And I want to tell somebody that, don't wait till you die, just give it to your son right now.
Son. So let me be a good dad and wipe out all my son's competition so that fruit in his son's kingdom was gone. But on the spiritual level, God had to take Jesus back to Egypt so that God could understand and Jesus could understand what Egypt was like. And what the motherland was like. Jesus had to dip his toe in the blood-stained soil of Africa so he could feel the blood of his ancestors who died under Egyptian slavery. He had to dip his toe in the sand of the fertile ground that gave us life in order for him to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. They thought they were taking him to Egypt for protecting his life. But he went all the way down to Egypt to put on the blood. He had to go down to Egypt to pick up the blood of his ancestors. Because one day he knew there were going to be some other ancestors that would come about 15 years later who would also die in the fertile lands of Africa, even though they were transported to America to work for the white man and work for the European power. That he had to make sure that he understood the blood and pick up that blood so one day he could see by his mother. And I just stopped by 12 or 3 saw a problem with the Lord. I knew that there's still power. I said, there's still power. There's still power in the blood. There's still power to make you walk right. Still power to make you talk. Still power to make you act right. Still power to forgive you of all your sin. Because he went down and picked up the blood. Y'all ain't ready. I've been shouting y'all still sitting. Aaron says, when you find him, I want to come worship him too. And when they got there, Aaron, they saw his majesty. Even though he was dirt born in a dirty barn, by the time the wise men, that wasn't no slip, that just came out wrong. By the time the wise men got there, they had moved him from the barn to the house. Now, mistress, while she was pregnant, there was no room in the inn. But when the innkeeper saw all these people coming, and these rich men from the east coming, with all these fine gifts coming, they couldn't leave him in the barn any longer. And by the time they got there, they had to put him in the house. When he was born outside. But when they realized he was something special, they brought him home. I'm talking to you right now, and if you feel like you're on the outside, and if your Jesus is on the outside, bring him on the inside. I heard somebody say, if he stands at the door knocking, why don't you just let him in? If you're cold at home, and you ain't smelled all service, and you ain't felt nothing this service yet, you need to let the Savior in. Took him down to Egypt. Oh, thank God there wasn't no border patrol. And they had to sneak him back into the country. Thank God there wasn't no wall, no armed man keeping these political refugees from getting back into the country where there was a man who wanted to kill them. They brought him back to a country where they knew he was not wanted. They brought him back to a country where they knew that the forces that be, Dr. Moore, wanted to kill him. Try this out. And they brought him back to a country where there was a king who wanted to kill him and his whole family wanted to kill him. But they brought him back in a house because they knew that death and the devil can kill when God has blessed. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but there's somebody that the devil tried to take you out, not only this year, but in years time. But I'm here to tell you, baby girl, that the devil cannot destroy what God had his hands on. The devil can't take you out if God has brought you in. The devil cannot kill you, and you cannot be killed by anyone because God had his hands on you.
attention. All that running your family. Reason why I'm running your family, because ain't nobody running. In the family. If you're not running in your family, you don't somebody to run. So run out your family. You cannot kill what God has given life to. Run is what I like about Africa, because I know you are dreaming. I know you are dreaming. I know you are dreaming because you called me 5 a.m. Same way that we came. And I don't know who I'm speaking to this Sunday morning, because I'm about to lose my voice. But that's all right with me. If God has delivered you from anything, and if God has delivered you from anybody, do not, in Jesus' name, go back the same way you came. If God has delivered you from anything in 2019, say certain words, you know, we live at different times, you know, you can't say various words. I understand that, respect that. And they told my dad, I said stupid one day, they looked at me like I was stupid. Daddy, you can't say that no more. But I'm sorry. When you step on stupid, when the VCR is on pause, you got to learn how to either hit play or fast forward. Because some of us have missed so many blessings in our lives, stuck on pause. What I hate about it is that all y'all who stuck on pause know y'all was pause. Because your life is just let that old VCR tracking. Some of y'all ain't old enough to remember when we had beaters and VHS and that thing was tracking, it was blurred. let's just keep moving him and him moving you, and he'll make your life clear. But you cannot go back the same way that you came. Now, I've got permission to tell this story, and we went our way. And she told me I could use their names, but you know, I didn't try to protect the innocent. Wednesday after Bible study, before I got that good soup, one of my members came to talk with me. She brought a friend and a daughter. We talked about some things, and she said, "Pastor, I've got to apologize to you." And she says, I put words, my words in her words. I've kind of mad at you, Pastor. She didn't say that, but that's what I discerned in my spirit. And I ain't been here for a while because I'm kind of mad at you, Pastor. You ain't no more. She said, I brought my daughter to you. And I told you that my daughter was born with some genetic issues, and you know, she's had some developmental problems, and she's been deaf from birth. And I told you that my baby could not hear. And you said, it's going to be all right, and you kept on walking. Spirit, I didn't take enough time with her to hear her story. You know, y'all kind of told her, don't talk to me while I'm walking. Don't talk to me. I'm trying to be honest with you. Don't talk to me while I'm walking, because I'm walking for a reason. And I said, it's going to be all right, and I kept on walking in the Bible study. She said, Pastor, but I'm going to tell you this. You did pray for my daughter, and you did lay hands on her. But I didn't feel right when you kept on walking. You said everything was going to be all right. And that there are times, church, there are times when stuff just ain't all right. Especially when you're in pain, especially when you're in misery, especially when you're grieving. You're grieving, ain't nobody died. And that's the one last thing you want to hear anybody say when you done lost your mama, lost your daughter, it's going to be all right. But it ain't all right right now. But you have to understand your pastor's spiritual posture at all times. Daddy, I don't worry about nothing. I've been through so much hell in my life. Been through so many things. Y'all think just because I look good, praise God for it. Praise God for it. It's so hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Shane in the spirit says, don't you worry about it. Some of you think that what you think that you think, but I've been through a lot of hell in my life, still catching hell every day. But there's one thing that life's lessons have taught me. Once I give it to Jesus, it's about me now. That mother went on to tell me, I will tell you this, Pastor. After Bible study, even though you had hurt me, you prayed for my child. And you laid hands on my child. And I want to let you know, Pastor, she can hear now. That affects you right now. And when I touched that baby, she grabbed my phone. And we had prayer, and that baby held onto my phone the whole time. And I know why she held onto my phone, because the phone is has the most power in your body. Out of all your extremities, out of every digit you got, your phone. Anybody know that God? tell you. It takes arrogance to say, Erica, have you ever prayed for somebody and got a headache? I told my baby, I said, Cynthia, I feel like I've lost my life. I feel like all of my virtue had left me, kind of like in the Harry Potter movie with Voldemort. It is that Voldemort had to lift in Harry Potter, and how Harry Potter did, and the only Harry Potter lived in Voldemort there.
Jesus' name, we thank you right now for restoration.